Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Please be seated. Listen, first and foremost, I want to charge you and tell you something very simple but important. You know, I keep telling you that sometimes we have a stereotypical perspective of how God ought to move. And you must learn early enough that it doesn't have to be spectacular to be spiritual. It doesn't have to be spectacular to be supernatural. The Bible says that the prophet was on the mountain and there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. And then there was a mighty wind, but God was not in the wind. And after all that drama, there was a still small voice. Please, you must learn to move with God the way He chooses to move. With prophetic instruction, you don't get to have a preference. If God says, go to the Jordan and wash, you don't say, I prefer a swimming pool. There's a more trending place. No, where the word of God has chosen is where you will go. And even if God is giving everyone else the miracle that way, He may choose another way for you. You are right beside the pool of Bethesda. And God has insisted that instead of the miracle being an enablement to jump in before others, what He has chosen instead is that Jesus will come to you and say, will thou be made whole? And I hope that you will have the sensitivity not to be telling Jesus, I have no man. Because you have insisted that the miracle must happen this way. Please, are you listening to this? You dare not insist that the miracle must happen in that particular way. Others got healed that way. God has sent Jesus to you. Listen. Oh my God. And so, there are so many ways that God changes the lives of His people. And if you hear people share testimonies of healings, it's in different ways. Even in the ministry of Jesus, sometimes He used saliva. Sometimes He said, be healed. Sometimes He told a relative, go. Your relative is healed. And they went back home to find the person healed. The same Jesus. Sometimes He used words. Sometimes He used touch. That's how He moves. You can't box Him. Come on, are you with me? So when people are sharing testimonies, some will say, I just worshiped God and I danced. And you know, it doesn't make sense to you. But even some people that might have been praying before, that's not how it happened for them. They just began to practice the joy of the Lord and dance as if it has already happened. And that was it. You know, someone else said, I went on a fast. Fasted 3 days. On the third day, this happened. Someone will say, I prayed a prayer of faith. And it happened. Someone else will say, I engaged importunity in prayer. Meaning, I prayed until the person who was in prison came to knock the door and say, I'm here. I said all of that to say this. I'm going to teach something. I might not have thought on it the way I'm teaching today, but it's very important. And I think that it's one of the most important principles in the kingdom, and as it pertains to miracles. Let me say this. If you have tried everything else and you are not seeing miracles, more often than not, what I'm about to teach is what you're missing. Because I have seen that God cannot help people, and I will prove it to you because I know it seems oxymoronic to say God can help. God cannot help people who don't know this simple principle. Open your Bibles, a popular text. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Are you there? By the way, I'm just going to give a charge and then we praise God and we pray. And we're out of here. You've been blessed, right? This third session. Thank you, Jesus. And by the way, please ensure you share your testimonies. Ephesians 3:20. Everybody read together. One, two, go. Let's read it together one more time. One, two, go. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power. Oh my God, like I said, this is a popular text and you've heard it so many times. In fact, many people have taught this from different dimensions. Maybe to highlight and emphasize the power that exists in the believer. The fact that he says, according to the power that works in you. In fact, so when you realize that there is tremendous power in the believer. And a lot of people who don't even know this needs to still realize that even if you never healed a sick in your life, which you should, at the trump of God, the Holy Spirit in you will raise you up no matter how long you have been dead. And it baffles me how that people have dead raising power in them without any evidence. If you believe in the rapture, understand that the agency of the rapture is already in you. You know, and that's a sermon on its own. I have, you know, sermons on that, like listen to Jetpack and all of them. And some people use this to emphasize the power of asking, the power of prayer, maybe importunity in prayer, or the prayer of faith. Because he says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask. So there are sermons on asking. If you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, the door shall be open. And if you seek, you shall find. But there is a small thing that we tend to gloss over. He says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or what. Some translations say imagine. And if the imagination or if the thought was not important, he would not have said that. He's able to do. Oh my God. Listen, so you've been asking, but what have you been thinking? I'm telling you, this is simple. And the reason we need more teachings on this is because if trusted hands don't teach on this, some silly people will take this up and teach some extremes. So we have some people who have introduced, you know, negative spirituality, yoga, and all kinds of funny things. And that's not what I'm saying. But at the same time, there is a gift that every child of God, in fact, every human being has that we've not considered. And you need to become conscious of it because God wants to use it in your life. There is a reason God gave you. Apart from many things, you have to understand the role that this can play in your spirituality. So picture this. You're lying in your bed, and then you roll to the edge of the bed, reach for your bedside stool, open the drawer, and you pick up a red apple. How many of you saw a red apple as I was talking? How many of you imagined a red apple as I was talking? But where is the apple? Is there any apple? Is there any apple in your room? But you imagined it. And you have to understand that it's a gift that the Lord has given you. You know, someone put it this way and it's so brilliant. Right now as you are sitting, you might not know in your mind how many windows are in your house. But if I ask you, you can imagine it. You can go to the room and you can be counting. You can see this. You can go to the living room and you can count. You know, that's an incredible gift. And I want to show you how that gift plays a role in the miraculous. Because you might have been asking, but you need to think. Because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. So God exceeds your imagination, but your imagination is important. Please, are you with me this evening? Oh, Jesus, this is so important. so simple but so important, and you must learn to use it. Let me show you a text. You know, the first person I heard teach this years ago was Andrew Womack, and it shocked me to the core of my being. I think the title of the charge was Power of Imagination. Look at Psalm chapter 78, verses 40 and 41. Psalm chapter 78, verses 40 and 41. It says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Verse 41. Yes, again, they tempted and limited the Holy One. They tempted and limited the Holy One of Israel. Limit God? How's that possible? Is this some typographical error? Did the writer really mean that? Yes. Because you see, you may not be able to stop the power of God from operating in someone else's life, but you can stop the power of God from operating in your life. In case you think this is just Old Testament, the Bible tells you, quench not the Spirit. Meaning like fire, the impact of the Spirit can be extinguished in your life. It can. And so you must be aware of it and guard the operations of the Spirit in your life. Let me tell you something I've never said before. I don't think I've ever told this story before. The first time I heard of the false teaching called cessationism, that gifts have ceased and God doesn't work miracles, you know, I couldn't imagine it. And that's why theology is important. There are some things you know by experience, but experience is not enough. Please listen to me. Experience is powerful, but it's not enough. Imagine John the Baptist saw the Spirit descend as a dove on Jesus. But later in moments of trial, he forgot. He said, are you the one, or should we wait for another person? Listen, if you don't see the Son of Man in the Word of God, you don't know the Son of Man. The most efficacious way to know the Son of God is in the Word of God. There are people who God used to work miracles before that don't believe in it anymore. That is why your experience must be anchored on the Word of God. And you must align your experience to God's Word and not the other way around. As important as it is, please, are you getting what I'm saying? So now, of course, I never agreed with what they were saying, but they were puncturing holes of doubt in my heart. Me, Dad, you know. And after a while, for a season, this just lasted. It didn't last more than 2 weeks. But it affected me. And I noticed something. Throughout that period, I did not see any vision. And for some of you, that might not be strange, but I live visions. I see. Do you understand? Sometimes I don't even know whether it's vision. Anyway, I don't need to tell you stories. And one midweek service in Angiama Drive, M Square Hall, the power of the Holy Ghost just gripped me. You know, I was tired of it. So I knelt and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Am I foolish? How could I even, after all you've done through me? You know, I've told you, Elijah can call down fire, but there are some moods in which Jezebel will just threaten you, go and hide. And you're wondering, is this not the man of, what are you doing here? So I just asked, what am I doing here? Like, how did I get here? You? And as I was on the floor, repenting, crying, for the first time in a while, an angel walked to me, you know, and then just touched my shoulder, you know, as if to strengthen me or something. And everything came back like a flood. And that particular service was powerful. But then I learned an important lesson. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Anything that I don't believe in, I will not listen to. You have to learn how these things affect you. how dangerous these things can be. Of course, now I have the maturity, I can engage you in the, what do you mean? Show you in the word of God, you know, and all of that. But there are some things that must not catch you unprepared. You will just be leaving. On your way back, you'll say, am I sure? Please, are you listening to me? Oh my God, this is so important. Like I said, as simple as this is, it will change your life. Let me show you something in Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. Isaiah 26 verse 3. And I will tell you why I'm sharing this text with you later. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Oh my God. He says, because he trusts in you. Do you believe this? So, how do you stay your mind on God? Have you seen God before? Come on, I said, have you seen God before? Physically, most of you haven't. But he says, to stay your mind on God. Meaning, your mind plays a role. And not only does it play a role, that is where spiritual peace and stability comes from. So you must learn to stay your mind on God. That's a practice. It's something you can get better at. Are you listening to this? You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stayed on you. And then what, you know what's in, more interesting? Is when you realize the word translated mind, you know, yester, was translated as womb in so many other places. Oh, no coincidence. It means there is a womb in your mind. And there are things that God wants to bring into your life, he must first bring into your mind. Are you listening to me? And that's where conception takes place. That before it comes to your hand, it must come into your mind. And sometimes God brings you to scenarios where he can paint pictures in your mind to create possibilities in your spirit. Listen, he will take Abraham in the cool of the night and say, look at the stars. Why did God have to do that? He could have just said, I'll give you children, which he had already done. But it means, oh my God, God believes in the power of imagination to transform the faith life of a believer. Look at the stars. Try to count it. As he's counting, his faith is enlarged. Come on, are you with me? Are you getting this? So he begins to see, not only will I have children, they will not be few. And just as he's doing that, he hits a threshold where God sees and considers and says, and then the report is, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It means that there are some things that you can see that will make you believe God more. Some of you know what I'm saying. There are some things that you can see that will help you believe God more. And sometimes God sets you up to see those things, to believe those things. He believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. Can you believe God tonight? I want to hear you louder. Can you believe God tonight? That the first time the gospel was preached to Abraham, it was preached with pictures. And that almost throughout the Old Testament, that was the major way the gospel was preached. That every time they slaughtered lambs, God was showing them in a prophetic picture that the Son of God would die. This is a method that is well established in the fabric of faith. Pictures. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners. So one of the diverse manners is through types and shadows. That as the brazen serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted. Through types and shadows. Pictures. And I'm going to show you how you can engage that to change your life. But let me say this to you quickly. If you don't learn this, the devil will use it against you. Because it's not only God who tries to influence your mind. The devil does. You know, I've taught you this when I was teaching on overcoming temptations. How that you can only make sense of the temptations of Jesus when you understand that it happened in the realm of the mind. Because some people thought that the devil literally took Jesus to a high mountain from whence he could see all the glories of the world. First and foremost, physically, there is no such mountain. Kilimanjaro, Himalaya, they are all not that high where you see all the glories of the world. Now, figuratively, the internet is like that. You can see all the glories of the world on the internet. But there was no internet at the time. What mountain is that? It must have been a spiritual place, an imaginative place. He could imagine. James explained it this way. He says, a man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Meaning you can be in a place and travel. Come on, are you with me? You can be in this hall and you see all, you travel to all the countries and imagine different things. You lost with imagination. That's how. Or you thought the devil took him physically to the pinnacle of the temple. And people were like, who are those? They say, shh, don't disturb them. The devil is tempting Jesus. And then eventually, when they took him to the high mountain and he said, get behind me, Satan. Satan said, okay. He said, wait, take me back to where you picked me from. And the devil was like, make I go or make I stay. And then maybe Jesus had to trek from the mountain back to the wilderness. No wonder he took 40 days. That's not Rema. It happened where all temptations happen. You can be in a room and be on a high mountain with imagination. You can be in your room and be in a classroom at the same time. You can be in a room and be in a hospital. And I'm telling you, the devil has used this for some of you. You are not even married yet. You are imagining maybe childbearing. Well, it will be hard. Maybe, God forbid, what if my child, when he's born, has an accident, falls down, and all the negative things. Sometimes it's just your mind, and many times it's the devil. And so you must have to use your words. When I taught on this years ago, I said, you don't use thoughts to shift thoughts. You use words. When the devil implants a picture in your mind, don't shake your mind. You know something? It's not enough. If you see the wrong image, even if you close your eyes, you can still see it. There is a screen in your mind, the power of imagination. I knew it was serious when I was listening to a man who is about 70 years of age. A very devout Christian, very conservative. He said in his life, he has only seen one pornographic image. He saw it as a teenager. He said he still remembers it. Don't joke with imagination. That's why you must guard your heart with all diligence. And the Bible tells you, as part of your spiritual practice, to renew your mind. Not just regarding overcoming temptation, but in regarding miracles. Because God is going to, oh my God, are you listening to what I'm saying? Even when it comes to the miraculous, God uses the mind. And so the children of Israel had sinned against God, and serpents came and they beat them, and these people have injuries and sores, and some are dying. And how does God remedy this? God tells Moses, put a brazen serpent on a rod and ask them to look. And as the sick people saw a brazen serpent, these people, they must have been terrified by serpents. But now, I mean, these serpents that beat them ran before they could kill them. But now you see a serpent hung on a rod. This fiery beast that has killed many people, you see it helpless on a rod, overpowered. And then now your focus is on the power of God. It's not that devastating after all. And as they're seeing it, the wounds are closing up. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Imagine you saw the things that are trying to capture you captured. The same snake that beat you and ran away. You see it on a rod, dead by imagination, just hanging helpless, and you fix your mind on it, and so your spirit now opens to the possibility of God. What has been trying to get me has been gotten. No need to worry anymore. And then, according to that prophetic story, the wounds begin to close up. Literally says, let them look and live. So, there is a principle of imagination even in healing. You must learn to see yourself well. Some of you have been so sick for so long, you can't even imagine what it means to be well again. And I'm telling you, you must imagine it. Come on, are you with me? Imagine yourself being free to travel without having to take drugs. Imagine yourself able to do any exercise, any sports without help. Imagine yourself running without gasping for breath like you're going to die. Imagine yourself well. You know, someone told a story. He was praying for someone who was almost blind. And he says, he told the person, close your eyes. Close the eyes. And he says, can you see? So she opened her eyes to see. He says, close your eyes. And he says, can you see? And she tried to open her eyes. He said, close your eyes. I didn't ask you to open your eyes. I want you first to see yourself seeing. Oh my God. See yourself seeing first. So I'm asking you, can you see yourself walking again? Can you see yourself carrying your miracle in your hands? Can you see yourself? Listen, because one of the first things the devil will attack is your faith in such a way that you lose your optimism, and in the bid to logically be reasonable so that your expectations will not be so high to be disappointed, you stop believing. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. So it is possible that your asking and your imagination can stir up deposits of power in you. Are you ready to do that tonight? So you must have robust expectations. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. So we imagine it. Oh, right. One day, I'm going to be a blessing financially to the body of Christ, to my family. You know, I will give and I will still have enough. You imagine it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. Now, he has told you you're going to change lives through your ministry. Imagine it. Every tribe and every tongue. You might be a songwriter. Picture the songs translated in different languages. Picture people reaching out to you and saying, thank you for obeying God. He's able to do. He's able. What I am telling you, God teaches his children to do. Please, are you listening to me? God took Abraham to a high mountain and said, look, north, south, east, west. He says, as far as your eyes can see. Oh my God. Not only did he say, look, he said, as far. That means what I am going to do needs your imagination. Abraham, don't just look. See far. Come on, are you with me? Don't just picture doing what God has said you should do, you know, in a shabby way. Imagine it big. Imagine it big. He says, as far, as far, as far, as far. As your eyes can see, I will give the land to your children. When God tells you to imagine, it must be important. So there are different types of services. There are services we'll lay hands on everybody. There are services, you know, we'll pray, you know, and all of that. And we're going to pray today. We're going to pray for the sick and everything. But God has asked me to tell my children to see themselves blessed, to see themselves healed, to see themselves impactful in their divine assignment, to see themselves influential in my will, to see themselves. So that imagination is important. That's that. Do you understand? It says, Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon it does he meditate. So the meditation is important. You can't meditate without imagination. Yes or yes? You can't meditate without imagination. He says, upon it do they meditate day, and he shall be like a tree. I told you, this might be a principle you might have been missing. Planted by the rivers of water. Watch what you ponder. Learn to ponder the word of God. Ponder the word of God. Ponder the word of God. Oh my God. And when there is a gusher in your spirit, I mean, imagination can hit that gusher. You rise and say, it's possible. And so when God trains us in the supernatural, sometimes he uses this. He could have just taught faith normally. But as a practice, and I'm going to talk about this, practice is important. He cursed a tree in the presence of everybody. So that when they are coming back and the tree is dry from its root, he knew that was going to make an impression. And he said, the tree you cursed is dried from roots. And he says, if you say to this mountain, oh my God, meaning I use this tree to tell you you can move mountains. Are you getting this? It's just the same way when you're learning something, maybe in school, you need examples. And God shows you examples. So listen, the reason I'm emphasizing this is because not every one of you will have an experience where God literally takes you in the cool of the night to see the stars. You're wondering, oh, I've not experienced that before. You have, but in a different way. When God shows you examples, when you see someone do what you were born to do, that is God taking you in the cool of the day. He shows you possibilities with examples. Ah, my God. And the Lord told me that he was going to use me to do that for many people, and he has been doing it. A man of God called me. I'm not really close to him, but we're friends. He called me. He said, just by scrolling on my page, it was like an impartation. Something came on him and he roared, it's possible. Ah! God is doing it with him. It's possible. And he called me. He says, I just want to thank you. I will not be the same again. I just want to thank you because God uses examples. For some of you, it's the example of others. I've taught you this before. The day you see Jesus walk on water, he's luring you to come. He's luring you. So you lose that satisfaction, and that's how you know God is calling you for something. You know, you lose that. You're like, what? I've been in this boat, scared of the storm, scared of the waves, and I can walk on water. If it is you, ask me to come. And he says, come, daughter. I assure you, you cannot try to walk on water without imagining it first. And it wasn't as hard seeing an example. If he did it, I can do it too. Come on, are you with me? And so he reached for it. That's what you're going to do tonight. Come on, did you hear what I said? And so very quickly as I round off, how do you build your imagination? Very simple answer. Number one, with God's word. With God's word. So the word tells you, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Meaning, don't let the world put a limit in your expectation. Don't be conformed, be transformed. Come on, are you with me? Do not be conformed, be transformed. See possibilities as they exist in the word of God and embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace it. Don't be conformed. I know the doctor has told you his part. He's doing his job. But I am telling you that there is a place where there is a cure for every sickness. And the cure is easy. Please, are you listening to me? Let me repeat it so that you will hear it well. I said there is a place where there is a cure for every sickness and the cure is easy. It is easy. It is easy. I've seen the deaf hear again, the blind see, the lame walk. It's not only is it possible, it is easy. So renew your mind. The reason the doctor tells you something and it looks like you're gasping for breath is because you have not renewed your mind. The reason God tries to tell you, you can do this for me, take this industry for me, do that for me, you know, start this ministry for me, and your heart is in shambles, is because you have not renewed your mind. And so you must study the word of God more and meditate on the word of God. And when you're seeing examples in the word, picture it. Picture it. Picture David before Goliath. You know, even if one was going to face Goliath, maybe you will stand in a distance and be doing like this. You know? But the Bible says, as soon as the battle started, David charged towards him. He wasn't afraid at all. Run! How do you run to a giant? I'm like, what? You know, when you picture it in the word of God, have you ever read your Bible, you dropped it and you said, wow. That's when it is getting to you. Get into your mind. With the word of God. And of course, number two, I already mentioned that in passing, with examples. With examples. By the way, please don't compete with people you should be emulating. When God brings examples your way, cherish it. Cherish them. And then when testimonies are legitimate, don't talk down on it. You are doing yourself harm. Instead, embrace it as your own possibility. If God did it for A, He's doing it for me. If God did it for Sister B, she's doing it for me. He's doing it for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Embrace the examples. When God gives you opportunities for smaller exposure, take it, embrace it. You may not know the reason you are facing a lion and a bear is because Goliath is coming. Goliath is coming. That's your own practice. That's your opportunity. Take it. Meaning, I'm not going to wait for the biggest stage. I'll be faithful in little. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? I'll be faithful in little. Practice. Consistency. You're doing it, no one is clapping for you. The first time Moses dropped the rod, nobody saw it. Nobody was impressed. He might have gone up to tell someone, hey, God said I should drop a rod, it turned to a serpent, and they'll say, how do we know? But it happened. And when it was time to drop it in the palace, he had had practice. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? He had had practice. Take the small platforms that the Lord has given you. Be faithful in them. Thank you, Jesus. And then finally, which is what I'm going to dwell on. This is where imagination and faith overlap. When you see it with your mind, your spirit takes over. You see it with the eyes of the spirit. You must learn to praise God like it has already happened. What I'm sharing to you, simple but life-changing. I can give you thousands of examples on this. How would Jesus give thanks before breaking bread? It's a different type of orientation in the spirit. to have 5,000 hungry people in front of you and to lift a piece of bread and give thanks. It's a different type, and you must learn it. It means before he even started praying, and this is the problem. Many people pray fervently, but their imagination is the problem. It means that before he started praying, he saw that the answer was available. Do you understand what I'm saying? 5,000? 5,000? Just imagine, for instance, the people who were at reboot camp last year wanted to feed all of them. And all we had was 5 loaves. And you lift it and say, Father, I thank you. Wow, there's a principle right there. There was something I taught for the first time in 2018 I want to teach now. And this is very crazy to the natural mind, but it's an example in the Word of God. Something we must emulate. Because you see, as we dance and worship the Lord today, I'm telling you, this is how the Spirit has decided to move. Come on, are you with me? As we praise God, and imagine Him do amazing things through you. Amazing. See, let me say something I think I've said this before in a few places. I finally discovered where I got my bravery from in ministry. Because, for a long time, I didn't even consider myself brave. Because I'm just like, God said it. Do it now. That's what I know. God said, go. I didn't know why I was conditioned that way until, in talking to a man of God who is saying, I know you're advising some men of God. So I said, I finally got it. I realized that God had orchestrated my own exposure early enough. Because you have to understand, by 1994, my first pastor had a private jet. 94. And I remember as a child going to church, and the office complexes have lifts, elevators. 1994. The church building was built and easy. I'm not a materialistic person, but even then I remember he was driving a Lincoln Navigator. I think they said it was 11 million or 12 million. 1994. So that was my first exposure to ministry. I didn't know how to do ministry small. Do you understand what I'm saying? What surprised me was when people wanted to do it small. I didn't know. That was my first exposure. God worked on my mind. I remember very well as a child climbing up to children's church, because I have a crazy memory, and I think God did it on purpose to help me. I've told you about that before, right? My uncle was here earlier. I don't know if he's here. Yes, go on. Okay. Mommy, do you remember Uncle Akin gave me a bow tie for my 5th birthday? You remember? Are you shocked I remember? Yeah, okay, you know me. So I all the people that gave me gifts, all the people that... Okay, let me scare my mom now. On my 3rd birthday, wait, we'll verify. There was a supermarket at our junction, Sea Road, a Sea Close. You took me there to buy clothes. White with blue stripes, top and shorts. Do you remember? And that day, I saw a toy bow and arrow, Rambo, and I really wanted you to buy it for me. You didn't buy it, I've forgiven you. But can you remember that? And when we came home, we took pictures outside, the fence was painted half red, half white or something. But, oh my God. But did you remember at all? Okay, let me describe your room then.
Wait, she's here. I want to say what she can verify. Green rug, correct? Small fridge. Then the fan had some golden patterns. I don't know if you remember that one. In such a way that when... Oh, God. But the balcony, one wardrobe that had something inside, I used to hide in there.
Okay.
So maybe that was part of the gifts I had. I could just recollect. Okay? There's one boy, Kufre, who was putting his hand into my cake. Yes. Oh, I remember his name. Kufre Abak. Am I correct, Mark? Kufre Abak. I forgive him. But I wanted to nod him that day. So, when I'm climbing up to children's church, and I see, I've forgotten what they used to call the newsletters for Winners Chapel, then I've called the name of the church now. Some signs and wonders today. They always used to pin the signs and wonders of the day on the news. There was a news board. And I was climbing and I saw the picture of Faith Tabernacle. They were going to, I think the budget was 8 billion. You know, seeing that as a child. And I shook my head. I said, this man again. And then, not up to 1 year after, he had built it. So I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So I wasn't really exactly child at that time, you know, but they had built it. So I just know it's possible. I don't know how I can convince you. But here is what we're going to do. For as many people as this sermon is for. And we'll just say, if not anything, this man is a man of God. God, they don't charge money to believe. Tonight, oh, I'm going to see like Abraham. All that you have asked me to do will be done. I don't know how. I don't have the capital. I don't have the resources. I don't know who can help me. But it will be. You said I should just look. Looking is easy. They don't charge money for it. Lord, tonight I know it is possible. If it is a healing, if it is provision, I know that it can be done. Therefore, I release my faith and I look like Abraham. I stagger not at your promise. I might have even tried it before and it was hard. It was difficult. But tonight, according to your word, I enlarge my expectations and I refuse to do it small. You said to Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, Lord, tonight I see far. I see far. I see far. I see far. Expand your expectation right now. Stir up yourself right now. Roar with expectation right now. Roar with expectation right now. I see far. I see far. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. When God tells fishermen, I will make you a fisher of men, he's working with their imagination. Immediately, he has given them contexts. I will make you fish. When God tells fishermen, village people, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. They must picture, before you enter a plane, if God tells you that, you must picture it. He said, go to all the world. Who will teach me French? Who will teach me Spanish? That's how to obey God. If God tells you, strike your arrow on the floor, don't stop after 3 strikes. Because you see,
limited imagination will limit the miraculous in your life. The prophet says, what? Why do you stop after the third? If you had gone five, your kingdom would have been established forever. I am telling you, there is a correlation with the miraculous and with expectation. You have to expand. When God said to through Isaiah, expand the place of your tents, enlarge your habitation, because many are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. He said, more people are coming. If you have a ministry, expand your expectation. Expand. I will say this for people who have the faith to carry it. When I was starting ministry, the Lord told me, he says, he that has, more will be given. He says, he that does not have, even that which he has will be taken away. He said, if you don't buy the drum set because you don't have the money, you are wrong. You don't have the money because you didn't buy the drum set. He that has, more will be given. The Lord told me, people don't give for sympathy. They give to identify with a vision that is progressing. That's why you say, help us, help. It won't work. Do you know that in split seconds, if someone wants to give you money, they size you. What can you handle? That's why you go to a house that has three children, different ages, and you give them according to their age. Is that not true? Many times you do that. So you have to understand, many times nobody will give you more money than they think you've handled before. Are you seeing how you might be limiting yourself without knowing? Nobody. So every time you don't take a bold step, you hinder your progress. Even the next step will be hard. Because when it is time to face Goliath, only someone who has killed a lion and a bear will be allowed. So if you don't take those smaller steps, you will not know the ripple effects and bigger responsibilities that you are missing. That is why you must start now. Enlarge. God never worked with anybody with a lazy mind. In the Bible, study well. He must enlarge your capacity to receive. It is not too much. Lord, see, can I say something? And please understand me. My spirit is so large. If you drop 10 billion into balance, my behavior will not change. You will not know if you see me. You can't know what I'm handling by looking at me. I see, people who change their behavior because of money is bigger than them. I have been saying this thing now. I am yet to change. My spirit is larger. Because for me, I am not trying to be comfortable. I'm trying to change the world. That's why if $1 billion come now, I know what to do with it. So, if the vision has overwhelmed, it has finished. As it comes, it don't finish. And I'm not, the plans are there. I'll just say, here, take, bam. Because I'm not living for survival. I am here for a purpose. God said he would make a name for himself with my life. I've enlarged my heart. I have seen the north, south, east, and west, just like Abraham. It will be done. I have told God, do as you have said. And for those who are sick, again, I'm telling you, see yourself healed. When Paul says Jesus makes you whole, that's something to receive with your mind and with your spirit. Both must go hand in hand. Jesus makes you whole. If he says rise up and walk, you must receive it. I'll show you just one more text and then we pray. I want to read to you a story that you already know.
But I want you to receive it from your spirit, because there's a powerful principle here. Because when you're reading, you know, just your KJV translation or any other popular translation, you may not really understand what it's saying. You know, so they come to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 and they tell him, three kings are coming against you. Three kings are coming against you. And like every other sensible person, he was afraid. But he didn't stop with fear. He called a prayer meeting. Oh my God. And as they prayed, one young boy, a prophet, got up and prophesied. He says, thus says the Lord, you shall not need to fight, for I will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Hey, God. Now, Jehoshaphat pulled the most crazy move anybody has pulled in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. Jehoshaphat said, he got up, he cleaned the stairs. God said, I will not need to fight. He will fight for me, I will hold my peace. He just praised God. He stopped crying instantly because he believed the word. Then he told the army, he said, believe the Lord and you shall prosper. Believe his prophet and you shall be established. Then when it was time to go to battle, if God said we will not need to fight, why are we carrying weapons? Are you aware that it was not God who told him to go to battle without weapons? God didn't tell him that. He just believed the word of God. God said we will not need to fight. So now the Bible says they praised God. They went to battle praising God in the beauty of his holiness. When you see that, you will not understand what that means, because the KJV puts it in a way you will understand. Let's read from other translations. Come on, are you ready? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, 21. Let's look at the ESV. 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 Let me read it from here. Let me show you what it says. The Bible says, and when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. That's what beauty of his holiness means. It means they wore beautiful clothes. So instead of wearing a helmet, holding a shield, if God said we need to fight, let's go and praise. So they dressed like they were going to celebrate the victory. Oh my God. You are not understanding me. Therein lies a powerful principle. Imagine going to battle as if you have already won. The people saw them. The soldiers, the opponents saw them. They were confused. And as they were confused, something started happening. They drew out swords and started fighting. Oh my God. I am telling you prophetically. Right now, I want you to thank God, because his word concerning your life has already been fulfilled. You've been crying about it. You've been worrying about it. The prophetic word is, put on your dancing shoes and dance like it's already done. And rejoice like it's already done. And rejoice like it's already done. And rejoice, you've worried about it. It's time to rejoice about it. Listen, you must obey the word of the Lord. If God tells you to rejoice at Jericho, don't pray. As powerful as prayer is, if you pray at the wall of Jericho, it will not fall. There are some walls that will only fall when you praise God in the beauty of his holiness. Are you ready to do that tonight? Release your heart. Release your spirit. Hey! The Bible says be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord your God. Rejoice in the Lord your God.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.